Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 583, I'm a Miner, recorded live on May 30th, 2017. Hello everyone, welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I am your host, Duststorm.
And I'm your co-host, Godzilla T.
And we're back with another not-so-news-filled episode this week. It looks like we're kind of in a lull up until E3. And unfortunately, we didn't get a guest this week, but we will have one soon. We actually have the person that helped lead the effort creating the Barbo helmet, which was the helmet that the 405th presented to Bravo at HCS Worlds this year. And we'll have him on next week. So I reached out to him over Facebook, and Ben Choi, who used to be the XO for the 405th Pacific Division, pointed me in his direction. So he has volunteered to be actually on the show next week. So we'll have him to help bring some entertainment to the show, help make it a little bit unmonotonous, so to speak.
It's not monotonous.
Not most of the time. Especially after we get onto our tangents. Then we really get rolling.
Tangents? We don't do tangents.
We're a podcast. Of course we do tangents. We wouldn't be a podcast if we didn't do tangents. By the way, people may have noticed that we are using the talk show category, game, whatever, on Twitch now. I think it might be a little bit better to find a little bit differing audience in that, so we're going to use that for a little while instead of doing Halo 5 or Halo Wars 2, unless some big news comes out about that. But for E3, I doubt we'll get anything that's game related. It seems more and more, or this is just my thinking. I don't know what your take is on this, GT, or what the chat thinks about it, but maybe we'll finally hear something about the Halo TV show, or maybe some other non-game related Halo news for E3?
Maybe. I hope there's some Halo news. Something.
So they did say there's going to be some, just nothing related to a Halo 6 announcement.
I was really hoping they would have at least a teaser. But of course they've said they're not, so.
Well, unless they do something like they did for Halo 5, and that's not a teaser for the game, that's a teaser for the saga or whatever. I don't think they'll.
Yeah, it was a teaser for the game.
It definitely was. Everybody knows that.
It wasn't a teaser for the saga. It was a teaser for the game.
Hence the five shadow in the sand.
Well, not even that. I mean, the whole premise of the teaser, you have Master Chief cloaking himself, so he's hiding, and you have the Guardian in there. Halo 5.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, we know that now. We didn't know it then, but we know it now. It was a Halo 5 teaser. I don't care what 343 says.
Well, a lot of people pretty much assumed it was a Halo 5 trailer. And I think rightly so. But it very, very explicitly resembled what was going on in Halo 5.
I loved all the wild speculation what the Guardian actually was. Before we knew it was a Guardian. I actually think I only heard a couple people actually say Guardian.
You're probably right. It's been a while ago. I don't remember that well, to be honest.
I remember hearing War Sphinx a lot. Of course, with the release Primordium, that was pretty fresh in people's minds.
That's right. I forgot about that. And this is from Sketch. They said there's nothing Halo 6 announcement wise for E3. So my guess is they'll probably do something for maybe, because they've said there's going to be a campaign expansions for Halo Wars 2. So maybe an expansion on that, and possibly something about the Halo TV show. Because I think there was an article that popped up somewhere back in April about it. I can't remember where it was. Maybe someone in the chat knows. But how the TV show was still being developed, and I think Steven Spielberg made a comment about how they were not sure where to take the direction of the TV show. And then after Halo 5, they kind of have a better footing on what they want to do with it. That kind of stuff. Maybe someone in the chat can think of the article I'm talking about, but I think that was back in April.
Yeah, I would like to get some information on the TV show. Something.
I think everyone would.
I mean, you know, they dropped it, what, 3 years ago now? And we haven't seen nothing. We haven't seen anything since.
Yep, it's certainly been a while. I think people have waited quite enough already. Hopefully something for that this year. They've said that they're going to announce something Halo related at E3, and the only other bigger thing I can think of for Halo would be the TV show. I mean, the campaign expansion, sure, that's kind of important, but that's not something that you save for a trade show like E3 and just show that if you're going to be announcing something else at E3. It seems like there has to be something else that they have planned for.
Yeah, it kind of makes me wonder about what they have planned for Halo 6. Because you'd think that would be a prime market to at least tease about it. And they're gonna skip E3 when it comes to Halo 6. And they've been pretty bluntly saying there is no Halo 3 anniversary. Thank you.
Yeah, I don't think we need one.
Don't get me wrong. It would be neat to see Halo 3 with updated graphics, but it doesn't need it.
Honestly, go ahead.
Well, with CE and Halo 2, their biggest drawback and the reason I accepted the anniversary for those two is it brought them to the current generation of play. You know, it brought them to where they could be, you know, with Halo CE anniversary, well, with the Halo CE anniversary, it made it playable on the 360, which, don't get me wrong, back compat, you could still play the game, you just couldn't do anything online with the shutdown of the servers. But now, they did bring a multiplayer into it of sorts. I mean, at least you could do co-op campaign. They brought updated maps into the Reach engine for multiplayer. That part, not so crazy about, but hey, I understand why they did it. With Halo 2, you could play Halo 2 on a 360, but there was something with the emulation engine that just really screwed with the textures in the game. You get a lot of ghosting, and it was really annoying on some level. So the fact that they gave it an update and brought it forward to the Xbox One, along with CE Anniversary, I enjoyed that. You know, that made sense. Halo 3 Anniversary, just it in a practical sense, it doesn't make sense because it's already on the Xbox One.
And I have a feeling the Master Chief Collection is going to be the definitive. This is the latest that we're going to get on these legacy titles. I doubt we would see a re-anniversary of these titles now that they're on Xbox One. I would assume, kind of going forward, all these games that are coming out for Xbox One will probably stay around with whatever new console generation comes around, because they're all running on basically PC-based hardware. So it's no longer ARM architecture. It's no longer using hardware that's specifically for a platform. They're using, granted, they're modified, but x86 or x64 CPU architecture, AMD graphics cards. They're using normal computer components, and games just kind of work with those architectures now. And the x86 and x64 architecture is going to be around for a very, very long time. Granted, you don't see more 16-bit games that are heavily supported, or the whatever architecture those were, but a lot of the stuff that you see for games that were supported on Windows XP, they still work on Windows 10, just because the architecture of that hardware is very similar.
That reminds me, I need to reinstall Bulldozer.
I'm not sure what that is.
It's pushing a rock. It's a puzzle game. You have to push the rocks to the target, and there's only a certain combination that will let you do it. You can only push the rock. So if you push it in a corner, you're stuck.
Okay. I get the concept of it.
It's a mind-numbing game, but you can kill hours with it.
I'm sure. Pokemon had those kind of mini game areas in the Game Boy versions of those. So I know what you're talking about.
Looking at what they're doing with the Xbox Scorpio, it looks like they're doing an upgrade type path with the Xbox. The base architecture is going to stay the same. They're just going to upgrade the hardware so that all the games can be played on any of the hardware. It looks like the Xbox is just going to get faster as far, faster processor, better graphics card, at least for a while. So the Xbox, it looks like they're moving away from the generational hardware, where we had, the original Xbox, then we had the Xbox 360, which were vastly different machines, to the point where they had to actually build an emulator on the 360 to allow you to play original Xbox games. Well, in in the Xbox One, I don't think it's so much as an emulator as a virtual machine. I think that's more like what they're running with the Xbox One. I mean, it is an emulator to a point, but it seems to have a lot more adjustability because they're tuning the emulator to run individual games differently so that they run smooth and they run at their, at peak efficiency. It sounds more like they're running, a virtual box than they are a straight up emulator. At least that's what it sounds like to me.
It could be. I honestly don't know.
Yeah, I don't either. But it's just the way they describe, when they've talked about it, the way they described it, that's what it sounds like to me. So, the games that we have now, we're going to be able to play on our Xboxes for a long time to come if they continue on the path that they're on. The one thing I would honestly like to see, and I know this goes against the premise of the Master Chief Collection, literally break the games apart and make them five individual games again. The experiment with the Master Chief Collection obviously did not go very well. I honestly think that if you broke the games apart, the population of each game would go up again. And just, made it five standalone titles. I don't think, they're obviously not going to do that, but I would hope that they would do that.
You'd have to almost go back to the whole decision of bringing those titles to the Xbox One. Would it be better to make those their individual titles? Or, one of the benefits, I think, to having everything kind of in the one-stop shop like the Master Chief Collection is you can move around all the game engines without having to quit a game and restart. Now, granted,
exactly,
you got some of the features from Halo 3 and 4 not there. Like the file share system is still I think and then you obviously have a lot of the Halo 4 features not there either. But for Halo 1 and 2, you've got pretty much the entire game in the engine, and that's really what you're looking for, because Halo 3, you're not missing too much. You have Forge, you have multiplayer, you have campaign. I think there was a while there where the forging and the custom maps and game modes weren't working that well, right?
Yeah. When they first launched the Master Chief Collection, Halo 3 Forge just flat didn't work. You could build stuff, but it was a pain. Even more so than when it was the original.
Yeah, so there was a lot of consternation over the launch of it, just from things out of the gate. But if you look at the feature set for all the games, the Master Chief Collection does a pretty decent job at bringing everything to modern-day console. Granted, don't have the same experience as navigating the menus and having the certain nuances of each game. But from a core gameplay perspective, everything's there.
The only reason I say that, if they would have nailed that integrated UI, that would have been great. It would have been the best thing since sliced bread to have all five, you know, all five of the games in one central place. But, you know, it seems like even today, the Master Chief Collection is still full of bugs. Now, granted, they're not as game breaking as they used to be, but they're still pretty annoying. You know, there's still points where menus don't load correctly. They don't load completely. It's just stuff that annoys people.
And rightfully so.
I mean, most of the time I can overlook it because dealt with it this long. It's just, it's part of running the game.
I think there's going to be some getting used to with everything that's new in Xbox going forward. But I think we're pretty much set on this is going to be.
We've got what we're going to get.
Yeah, as far as legacy Halo games being brought up to date, I think this is the last that you'll see. Everything else is going to be just new games from here on out.
Halo 5 ODST. Oh.
That'd be interesting. Although, what would you do the ODST part off of? Would you go back to build off of the Spartan Ops storyline kind of thing? Or what would you do?
I would love to see them continue the Spartan Ops storyline.
Or maybe do something with another Spartan 2 team, like Great Team or something else. There's a lot of branch, and talking about more derailing, there's a lot of branches that could be explored in the Halo universe video game form.
There's lots of them. Great Team, not so much, but we'll get to that in a future episode after Dust gets done reading the book.
Thanks.
I don't want to go into too much detail there because I don't want to spoil it for him.
I don't mind if you spoil it, but.
Well, there's other things that they can do. Give us some backstory on Locke. Some real backstory.
Yeah, not Nightfall. You
know, he was an ODST before he was a Spartan. You know, if you're going to do an ODST style game. You know, if you're going to do Spartan Ops, I would love to see what Spartan Thorne's doing. I was really hoping they were going to continue his character because he was a good character.
Yeah, I thought he was going to be slated to be almost the next Master Chief if and when they finally kill him off.
Oh, I'm sorry. He wasn't an ODST. He was an ONI operative. Thank you, Eric Yabu.
That's why we have the chat.
Yeah.
Should we cover some news?
Sure, why not? We've rambled for a while now.
Okay. So there's the community update that was posted on Friday last week. That's the only bit of news that we have from an official source for this week. Grim posted a kind of a summation of the new things coming with the Johnson update. The cannon fodder for this week, it just goes into detail of the Green Machine, the Colossus, and the Mantis. So a couple of things that I noted to pull out of the summary is Grimm says that Johnson is definitely dead. He's super dead. Like, not even falling into the domain would even bring him back. At least Grimm is pretty sure that wouldn't happen. And Grimm said, remember, the multiplayer in Halo Wars 2 isn't a canonically wrapped simulation situation. It's just taking random aspects of the UNSC and information that they have from the Ark and putting it into a simulation. So Johnson is definitely dead. Got that out of the way? Good. Moving on. Green Machine.
But he could have lived.
Anyone in the chat want to chime in?
Sorry, I couldn't leave it.
No, you're good. You're good. I would have done the same thing. So a couple of things from the Green Machine summary that he gave. The energy shields regenerate rapidly after he hasn't been hit. His suit repair beacon actually heals up to 10 nearby allies with constructor beams. So it's not just everyone in a certain area. It's up to 10 different units. So I thought that was important to note. And his upgrades include a Gauss chain gun and a smart missile pod.
I have to admit, I have played a few skirmishes with Johnson, and it's interesting. I really do think that you want to go more long range with Johnson than you with that leader than you do any of the others. The Mantises are powerful, so are the Colossuses, but they're also kind of fragile when you start going up against other vehicles.
And the Colossus is slow.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're all slow.
Well, I guess slower than a vehicle, yeah.
Well, they move slower. The vehicle counterparts. The Mantis and the Colossus will move across the map slower than a tank.
The Mantis moves slower than a tank?
Yes.
Ouch.
At least in Halo Wars 2. In Halo 5, a Mantis outpaces a tank by a little bit. But to combat that, they give you a Pelican dropship that can pick up a large amount of Mantis and transport them across the transport them across the map. And it has a rapid cooldown, not a super rapid one, but it cools down pretty quick. So you can move your units around the map relatively quickly. I mean, you probably could walk them there faster with the cooldown, but you also run the risk of having them attacked along the way. But yeah, I would probably classify Johnson as more of a support role than a offensive, taking targets out at range.
Fair enough. I need to get my hands on playing multiplayer. I still haven't touched it yet, and I need to. So,
like I said, I've just been goofing around in skirmish.
I mean, I just need to do that too. I'm a little timid about doing multiplayer because I am a horrible RTS player when it comes to multiplayer. I've gotten my butt kicked in Command & Conquer more times than I care to count. So it's been one of the things like, I'm not sure I enjoy this, but I just need to face my fears and deal with it. I want to jump back to a comment that Confal made. He said, Johnson could come back as a monitor or an AI.
I like Penz's response.
No. I do too. I just thought that was funny. So the next thing that Cannon Fodder goes into is the Colossus. Things I picked out from this. Relatively slow, but outfitted with long-range heavy railgun. That can only target ground units. And then it has its autocannon as its second gun. The Stomp is available after the upgrade. And then there's a little tidbit of information about how they actually build the Colossus. So Grim says, Isabel retained its manufacturing templates from her supply chain training on Earth. That's how the Colossus is manufactured on the Spirit of Fire.
It's not manufactured on the Spirit of Fire. It's manufactured in your base.
Well, okay.
Come on, get it right.
Unless it's airdropped. But yeah, you're right. You're right.
Actually, no, that one is. No, wait a minute. The Colossus is airdropped. I just remembered that.
I got something right and I didn't even know it. Bobby, will you be my buddy if I do 3v3? So, okay, cool. They're dropped. I was right. I'm just kidding. So, yeah, that's how it's manufactured. So it's interesting to have these little tidbits, and Grimm goes into explaining how they actually get these things as far as blueprints and whatnot. So,
well, I mean, we theorize that Isabel was supplementing their manufacturing
capabilities. Yeah, I mean, she's a logistics AI, so her database probably contains a lot of blueprints and manufacturing details for a myriad of different UNSC vehicles and concepts, and yeah. Next thing on there is the Mantis. The chain gun is the primary weapon. It can target ground and air vehicles. You have two different upgrades that you can choose for the Mantis. The first one being the missile shield requisition upgrade, which adds a shield, energy shield, and a Gauss repeater. It increases the number of missiles that you can have. Sorry, the Gauss repeater is for the other one. So the second upgrade is the Gauss designator requisition, and that one adds the Gauss repeater with the target designator that replaces the chain gun. And then Isabel created modified versions of the Mantis from Cyclops and Colossus parts.
Woohoo! One thing, when you spawn in a Mantis without any upgrades, it does not do well against air. So you want to pick up that first upgrade as quickly as you can. And then that makes it at fair at killing pretty much everything. You know, it's not good at killing anything, but it's fair at killing everything. So it's definitely a middle of the road kind of unit.
Cool. This past weekend was a double XP weekend and had Halo or Warzone Warlords. I got a few games in for double XP, but Warlords, I didn't play that at all.
We didn't either.
Okay. I didn't miss much then.
Yeah, no.
Okay, fair enough.
There's too many tryhards in there. We did play some Warzone Turbo this last Friday.
Warzone Turbo is always fun. Yeah, it's always fun. There was a new Halo community feedback survey that was out there. I missed the window for that because instead of sending it to my Podtacular email like they used to, now they send it to my live email, which I check even less often. And the survey was closed by the time I got to my email, so I missed out on that one. From what I heard, it was Halo 2 multiplayer related, or Halo Wars 2 multiplayer related.
Yeah, I don't get that survey, so I couldn't tell you.
Well, you can go sign up over on the Halo community feedback page.
I'm doing good to keep up with the surveys on the preview program.
There's a few I need to go through. There's a couple other, not necessarily specifically Halo announcements, but overall Xbox announcements that have been made. Beam has been renamed to Mixer, which is a very interesting name change. I'm not really sure how you get a streaming service name out of Mixer.
The theory behind that is they want Beam to be a social space, not just a streaming service. They want the people watching interacting with the people that are streaming. So Mixer does make some sense. I heard Mixer and I immediately thought 70s bar, but hey.
That's what I was thinking too. Either like a social mixer or a website for mixing drinks.
Yeah, that's what they're pushing. They want the social aspect of the community.
So when can I order a cocktail from them and have it delivered to my door?
maybe next time you go into 3-4 streams, 3-4-3 stream, you say, is this where I get the cocktails? or a Microsoft stream. You know, with what they want to do with the service, and I highly recommend if you want to hear more about it, listen to the show number 600 for Major Nelson Radio, because he has the guys from Mixer on there doing an interview.
Ooh, I need to check that out then.
Yeah, I've only gotten partway through it, but you know, that was the biggest part of the name change. And the other, believe it or not, Beam is not a worldwide friendly name. It means things that people don't want to be associated with in other countries. So they had to find a name that would be good in all countries because, you know, they want to take their service worldwide. And that's one of the big problems with naming something that you want to sell or market in a worldwide market. You have to have a name for the product that's not going to offend people.
I mean, I get needing to rename it, but out of anything they could have picked, Mixer? I mean, Twitch makes sense because you're doing Twitch reflexes on certain games. That makes sense. Mixer right. Is a little, I mean, I see a little bit of the ties, like you were saying, but it's still a little more of a stretch than makes me feel comfortable.
I'm right there with you, Dust. When I heard they changed the name to Mixer, I'm like, what? Could they have done something better than that? I mean, Beam at least has something to do with broadcasting, but the way they want to market the site is they want to market it as a community interactive site. You know, that's why they've invested in the low latency streaming and stuff like that. Yeah, the name, it's probably not the best name in the world. I know it's not. There's probably something else they could have called it, but it probably would have offended somebody in some country.
Maybe they were looking for a word that had an X in it.
I've been playing with Beam here lately, you know, off and on. I haven't been doing a lot of broadcasting on it, but I've been doing some broadcasting on it, and I've had good luck with the app on the Xbox as far as pushing out a good quality stream. Over the weekend, I tried to use the PC app to stream, and it was absolutely horrible. I was running a PC game and trying to stream with Beam, and it just did not work. The picture was really pixelated, sound wasn't that great. But I went over and I started streaming with OBS after I went through and reset all the audio settings again. Thank you, Windows. Then the stream was perfect. You know, nice low latency stream, clean, sounded good. So there are some updates that need to be made with at least the PC app. I don't know if it would.
I'm curious if there is a culprit here, because with the anniversary update, it's supposed to prioritize gaming programs or apps over certain other apps. So I'm wondering, since Mixer and Beam are associated with the Xbox app, if it's putting that on lower priority and is causing that to mess up.
I have game mode turned off.
Okay.
I've watched several videos where people have tested game mode, and it can actually hurt the performance of the games.
That's not good.
No.
I might be turning that off now.
Yeah. For now, I would recommend you just turn that off, because it, you know, what they're doing, yeah, they're giving the game priority, but with the way the programming is working nowadays, most of the stuff you've got in the background is low priority stuff anyway. So it tends to take and reserve CPU cycles for something that it's not needing. I've seen a few videos where that, you know, they've done some actual testing with and without the game mode on, with high end hardware, with low end hardware. Low end hardware, it helps more than it hurts. But if you've got a gaming system you built the game with, just turn it off, because it will hurt you more than it'll help you. I mean, I don't have a high end gaming system. You know, I've got a CPU and motherboard that's 5 years old now. Granted, I just upgraded the graphics card, but it's, you know, I don't overclock or anything like that. And it, you know, it'll run Halo Wars 2 at ultra settings. It won't run it at 4K because I don't have a 4K monitor, but just turn it off for now. Unless you have a really slow PC.
Okay.
And then I'd recommend you go to Best Buy and spend $400 and get a better one.
Nice. Is that a plug for Best Buy?
Or Newegg, or Micro Center, or yeah. Amazon. Actually, Amazon. Go to Amazon.
Newegg's pretty good.
Particular.com/Amazon.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. I like your thinking.
That's the only real problem I've had with Mixer so far. They seem to be having a little trouble with their website right now, not wanting to load streams right off the bat. So you may need to refresh a few times. I think they made some changes in the background. I know they've got a splash screen that pops up when you log into Mixer now, telling people that the name's changed and everything. Hopefully they get rid of that here pretty soon, because it's really annoying.
It'll probably be like a week or two to let it burn in, and then people will get used to it, and then they'll change it out. For that kind of stuff, it's usually at least 2 weeks, if not 3 or 4 weeks, for people to just advertise the change. I will say the few times I have used Beam, the streams are a little temperamental. I think their player still needs some stability tweaks to it. And whenever they were streaming HDS Daytona for Halo, Beam was grinding to a halt. It was not good.
I mean, they're still relatively new service. They have limited hardware. So whenever you bring in a big stream like that, it's probably going to tax their systems. So, you know, I understand where they're having trouble with big streams like that. I did notice something on Beam. They do have a quality setting for even non-partners. I was playing around with my stream and found that you can run it at native, you know, whatever the person is streaming at, whether it be 720p or 1080p, but they give you a low res option of 480p if you're on a unlimited connection. So I like that.
I think you have more options if your channel is partnered. You have more different.
But like on Twitch, you don't even have that option. You have to you have to take it at its source.
Right.
If you're not a non-partner. If you're a non-partner channel, you don't get the option of, having people downscale into a lower resolution. The nice thing is that most like Twitch apps, they give you that ability to, cut the resolution down to a lower quality to help save bandwidth. And at least I know the mobile apps that I've run across do.
The mobile apps at least do.
I'm actually kind of surprised they don't have a Beam app on Windows Store yet.
So it's integrated with the Xbox app or the game bar.
No.
Are you talking about for a viewer?
For like mobile. Yes.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were talking about PC Windows, not phone Windows. Yeah, that's you think they'd be taking care of their own ecosystem with that.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I really enjoy my Windows phone, and there's people out there who are going to hate me for that because they don't like Windows phones. Yeah, I don't really care. It does what I need it to do, and it's easy to use. The store is limited as to what is available, but it does everything I need to do. I mean, Twitch doesn't even have an official app for Windows. There are people that do Twitch apps, but there's nothing for a Windows phone.
It's something that definitely is, you think being a Microsoft product now, they'd focus on writing a Windows phone app, but.
Well, yeah, it's,
I don't know.
It's one of those things. If you're going to, if you have this product out there, at least you need to support it. I mean, they have the application. There's a Beam application on the Xbox right now. And with their universal application platform, all they have to do is set it up where it run on mobile. Same for the Twitch app. That was the whole purpose of the new app store, is to make all these apps universal. Tyrant, sorry.
No worries. Mixer announced a couple of other things with the name change. One being co-streaming. So you can have up to 4 streamers contribute to a single Mixer page. I'm assuming this is kind of just like multi-Twitch on steroids.
Well, I think it's actually probably more like 4 individual people streaming to a single channel, maybe.
So the description says co-streaming enables multiple channel streams to be displayed on a single page. So I think it is actually multiple channels. So it's just Beam is using its platform to do like a multi-Twitch type of thing. It does say you can, in the coming weeks, Xbox One users will be able to invite friends to join a co-stream directly from the guide.
Well, that'd be nice.
So you can have, as long as you have a Beam account, someone can invite you to co-stream, and then your stream automatically gets joined into their page whenever you join their co-stream, I guess.
Yeah, I like the Streamy webpage, the multi-Streamy. That's a good multi-stream one. I like it because I can watch stream from multiple places.
Yeah, I think this is more for if you're doing coordinated type of show or stream.
I can see uses for it.
Yeah, say we were doing our Halo 3 run that we did back with Haas and BioWolf. If we wanted to stream all 4 of our POVs at once, we could easily do this and say, hey, this is, you just go to this page without having to manually
put and you each can watch all in. Of us fail at the same time.
Well, and then all the chats are probably integrated too.
And then you can watch BioNet fail at an internet connection.
That is a good point. Although his internet upgrade now since he moved, but yeah.
Well, maybe we'll have to do a Halo 3 Legendary run or something. Test it out, see how this works.
I still need to do my Lazo runs.
Yeah, that's probably one of those deals I won't do. It's kind of one of those deals. Been there, done that, don't need to do it again.
Yeah, but, well, yeah, I need it for the achievements, though.
Don't get me wrong. I would love to have the achievements. I just don't want to go through the punishment.
I can understand that.
It's like in the last episode of Achieving Halo, there were 3 rare achievements. That's one rare achievement I don't think I will ever wind up getting. It will probably permanently stay a rare achievement.
Aw, poor GT. We just need someone to backpack you through it.
No, I'm good without it.
Okay, fair enough. And yes, Pins, we need another Halo 3 run again. I still like that moment where I blew up the fusion coil and almost splattered BioWolf. That's one of my favorite memories of that stream.
We need to do the Vidmaster achievement on the last level of Halo. Of Halo 3. That's the one we need to do.
Ah, we should do that one. Hospice Bio forever. They also announced with the name change mobile streaming. So that's going to be supported. There's a Xbox One dashboard page for Mixer. There's also this thing called a Mixer Create. There's a beta launch for that. Oh, well, that's the broadcasting on mobile. And then the other thing is for E3, Mixer is going to be probably the only place that's going to actually stream the Xbox presentation in 4K.
So I hope you have a 50 megabyte connection or higher.
I do.
Because that's going to eat up a lot of bandwidth.
I'm happy it's on a Sunday now, because if it was on Monday, like it has been in the past, then I wouldn't be able to watch it because I'd be at work. So
yeah, same here.
I can watch it on my big 4K TV.
I will be watching it at 1080p. It'll be just fine.
But you won't see all the good 4K detail that will be coming with Scorpio.
As if... No, no, I'm actually looking at getting a 4K monitor. Right now, with the features that I want, my selection is pretty limited, so I'm hoping that'll expand here in the next few months.
So the one I got was an Asus. I actually did quite a bit of research into gaming monitors, and I finally kind of narrowed down to the ones I wanted. I'm happy with my choice so far. The bezel on it is actually smaller than my 1080 monitors.
I'm actually trying to decide what I'm going to do with that. You know, if I go to the Scorpio, if I'm going to continue to stream at 1080, then I really don't need to be running the game at 4K, because then that's just more work that my PC has to do to convert that from, you know, to downscale it down to a 1080p broadcast. I am still thinking about getting a different monitor for my center monitor. I'm thinking about going back to a little bit larger one. I've got like a 21 inch now. I'm thinking about going back up to maybe a 25 or 27 inch.
Okay.
Because I'm getting older and I'm getting blinder.
That sucks.
By the way,
I'll be there one of those days probably.
This has nothing to do with Halo. Last night I was playing with some other friends and they brought a guy in. He was 60 years old.
Nice. See, gaming's for all ages.
I was finally playing a game and I wasn't the oldest person there.
Yay!
That is very rare. But yeah, he's 60 years old and he was just as capable as any one of the rest of us.
You just need to get that with a DBO party and play with like Claude and Kermit and all those folks. I think Claude is in his, I think in his 50s? Higher 50s? Somewhere in there?
Yeah, he started about the same time I did, so we're not that far apart.
Pins is saying if he had to choose between a 4K TV or a Scorpio, he'd go with Scorpio.
Oh yeah, Scorpio will happen.
Yeah, it'll happen for me too. My gaming monitor might become obsolete. I might just stick to my 4K monitor if I get a Scorpio. Not sure yet. We'll see.
I'm really looking forward to Scorpio, or whatever the hell they're going to call it. They've called it Scorpio for this long. They might as well just make that its name.
Yeah, just leave it that way and keep the FPS counter for everyone that wants it.
Yeah. Yeah, I just ship everybody a dev kit.
Yeah. I have thought about getting a green Xbox One S, kind of to go with like the Halo theme.
I've thought about it, but I've already got two Xbox Ones, and I'm about to buy a Scorpio. I don't need another one.
But it can also serve as my travel Xbox if I want it to be that.
True.
Just something I'm contemplating.
When I start traveling more, then I might contemplate buying an Xbox S.
Yeah.
In a games case.
Yes. I got mine off of a sale. Oh, it was Loot Crate at some point had a like 35% off of games, and I used that to buy the Halo games case. It was pretty sweet. So that's it for the Mixer stuff. I didn't miss anything, did I, GT? I think I got most of the stuff.
No. You covered everything you got in your notes.
Okay. Just a couple other refreshes from the community. There's nothing else really going on. The Mixer was kind of the only other community thing to add, really. I forgot. There's a couple more things from the update. The Microsoft Studios publisher sale is happening, I guess, next week. So Halo 5 will be 50% off the standard edition, 60% off the deluxe edition. Halo Wars 2 will be 35% off. And then there will be a discount on all rec packs, including gold packs, Warzone rec bundles, arena rec bundles, and the Voices of War. And then the Blitz packs will also be discounted as well.
Discounted if you want to pay money, not if you want to buy it with rec points.
Right. Guess you should clarify that. And then the Xbox Game Pass is available now to Xbox Gold members. There's a 14-day trial that you can use and includes over 100 titles from the library. And this kicks off on Thursday, June 1st. So Halo 5 is included in there, so we'll probably see a slew of people join up into multiplayer. So the tryhards will probably come to squash them.
Yeah, the one thing, I've been doing a little looking into that, and right now, I mean, I understand what they're doing with it. It really has nothing that I want, because all the games that I want to play that would be in there, I already own.
Yeah, same for me too. But just for people that are interested.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I don't play that many games anyway, because I rarely have time to play games, and Halo's yeah. Halo's the thing I go to. Granted, I've been playing a lot more
Solitaire.
Blur. Well, yeah, that too. That's been on my phone, but as far as console games going, I'm actually playing Blur, which was a 360 title, kind of a mashup between Burnout and Mario Kart and Need for Speed.
I mean, don't get me wrong, there's a lot of good games. Like the BioShock series is on there. Halo's on there. I think Gears of War is on there as well. I mean, there's some good big name games in there, but a lot of people that were around for the original launch of those games, they have them. So, you know, they're not going to want to rent them going forward. I think, and granted, you know, it's a new service, so there's not a lot out there, you know, because a lot of the big name games have already been released prior to the launch of this. I would like to see, you know, featured AAA titles in there. For instance, when Destiny 2 launches later this year, I would like to see it in there as a featured game, or any other big name games that pop up between, you know, now and the end of the year, or whenever their reshuffle is, if it's going to be a monthly or if it's going to be quarterly or what. You know, I would like to see those big name games in there too, and that would help draw people into the service. I mean, that's one reason Gamefly is so successful, because you can put brand new AAA games into your playlist and they will ship it out to you, and you can play it and then ship it back when you're done with it. And that's what they're trying to do with this Games Pass. It's basically a digital version of Gamefly, where you just download the game, you play it for as long as you want. When you're done playing it, you can delete it off your hard drive, download something else. I mean, download as many as you want while your subscription's active. So it's a good theory. I just, to help promote it, I think they need some to make sure those AAA titles are in there.
So I have a feeling that the Game Pass is going to be something where studios are going to wait to see the success of it, to see how many people buy into it, which is kind of a double-edged sword, because on the one hand, yeah, developers are going to try to protect their investment from a potentially flop of a thing, and then back out, and people are going to be like, wait, where's my game? You said this was going to be part of it. Versus letting the platform try to prove itself. But to your point, it's kind of hard to prove itself when there's only the back compat games and there's not really many current AAA titles on that list that aren't Microsoft platform exclusive. So it's kind of like a double-edged sword in that case.
Yeah, this is a $120 a year investment. That's two games. Well, two AAA games.
Yeah.
You know, for me, it doesn't make sense, because I buy a game about every, you know, in 4 years, I'll probably buy two games. I don't buy a lot of games. And if I do buy games, it's usually the $9 games or, you know, stuff that's on sale.
Wait for them to go on sale.
Yeah. You know, I don't.
Yep.
Or if one of the, you know, the monthly free ones piques my interest, I'll get that. But I don't buy a lot of games, because, you know, my focus is mainly Halo. You know, I did, you know, like I picked up Titanfall when it was on sale. It was Titanfall and all the download packages up to that point, or the DLC up to that point. And I played the trainer mission, and I've touched it since. Matter of fact, I don't even have it on my Xbox anymore. I had to make room.
Yeah, I'm almost out of room on my Halo 5 console. I need to plug in that hard drive that I got. I needed a video for it first. I'm so behind on things. Game Pass is there. That's available now for gold members. You have the 14-day trial, and then it becomes available to everybody on June 1st. In the rest of the update, there's some community artwork that was done. We mentioned Garrett Post's artwork that he did for the Halo 3 anniversary. They highlighted that on there. Someone did a digital dissection of basically Master Chief. It's a Spartan 2, taking the armor off and then seeing the modifications that they made, the physical augmentations to the muscle structure. And he did it on his iPad, of all things. There's screen captures up there as well. And then a couple other miscellaneous community things. Podcast Evolved updated their website. Some graduates decorated their cap and gowns with Halo stuff, which they're pretty cool. One of them has a legendary on it and has the little legendary icon. And then someone did the Halo with the little button on top being the center of the little Halo icon of the original Halo. So there's a couple of those on Reddit if you want to go check those out. So that's it from the community update. Nothing else really happening in the community. Project Contingency did release a Q&A video today for their make question and answers. One of the cool things that they specified on there is you can do split screen on PC. So you can hook up four controllers to your PC and play Project Contingency split screen and have each controller control a different player.
Cool.
That was out today. Go check it out. You can check out their website, which I believe is project-contingency.org. Is it org or com? I'm looking up right now. It is .com. So project-contingency.com. The Installation 01 cinematic trailer was released last week as well. And they actually reached out to us because they heard a little shout out of them in our podcast last week. So we are going to have them on the podcast probably the week after next. So next week we have the guy who directed the building of the Barvo helmet on. So we'll probably have the Installation 01 guys on the following week. So they'll bring on a few people to talk about the project, what their mindset is on what they're trying to achieve with the project. And hopefully that'll be a good experience for you guys. I may poll the community for questions on that, as well as the interview for next week for the Barvo helmet. So for everyone that's listening to Twitch, don't ask the questions in the chat. Wait till I post it on Facebook and Twitter for the questions. And then I'll collect them from there and bring them onto the podcast in the subsequent weeks. And if you haven't checked out the cinematic trailer, just search for Installation 01. It'll be the first thing that shows up on Google and YouTube. Halo Customs is still having its Battle Golf Forge contest that ends on June 18th. And there are some prizes to go with that. So if you're the forging type and want to make a Battle Golf course, then head on over to Halo Customs to check that out. There's also the CR Woman 7 Halo fan short film that you can check out on Kickstarter as well. There is 97 backers for it. $4,700 has been raised out of the $35,000 goal. There's 15 days to go. So if it's a project that you're interested in, feel free to go on over and back it. For those who don't know, Kickstarter is if the project gets funded, then it gets paid. But if it does not get funded, then nothing gets paid. Hopefully there'll be some big push near the end to get the project going. But right now, there's quite a ways to go for it to get the funding that it needs. And the Loot Crate orders, you have 2 weeks left, or a little over 2 weeks left on that. Pre-orders end on June 15th. What's the 16th? June 15th. And this is the last one for the, I guess, the first line of Halo figures, because it seemed like, someone correct me if I'm wrong, but maybe I saw on Twitter somewhere where they're doing another round of Halo figures possibly for the second year of Loot Crates.
I haven't seen anything, but that would be cool. I still have to find a place to mount or to put the ones that I got.
I need to find a place for things, period. I'm running out of space. Although in a year's time, that probably won't be an issue.
No, it will be an issue that will continually haunt you.
I just got to get a place where I can install shelves on the wall, and then I can just have a Halo wall.
The more space you have, the more you will fill. It's a proven fact. So you will always be out of space.
You have a good point there.
Just learn to deal with it.
Okay. Laird makes an interesting point here that I kind of want to echo on the podcast. If Microsoft wants Beam or Mixer to succeed, they should include a free sub per month if you're a gold sub, like what Twitch does with Amazon Prime. I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, if you're an Xbox Live Gold member, yeah. At least one free sub a month.
I'm not sure how that works out legally. I think it'd be pretty cool if they could do that.
Well, it seems to work out okay for Amazon, so.
Yeah, but there might be something in Microsoft legal where Amazon legal, I think, would be, I don't know.
No, it's just it's a benefit of the gold membership. It's like how you get a discount on games.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
I mean, I'm sure there's some legal stuff in there, but I don't see that there would be any real hoops to jump through. Of course, I could be dead wrong too, but.
Well, so here's the thing I'm thinking of, and this might not be the case for Twitch, in which case then it's not going to be an issue for Mixer either. But with Twitch Prime, as it's called, do they actually pay the stream what that subscription would be, or are you just accessing the content that's only available to a subscriber? And I'm guessing now that I'm thinking about it, is probably the latter. So you're not actually giving money to the streamer, but you're getting access to the sub features of that stream.
Yeah, I don't know how Twitch does it.
Yeah. So if that's the case, then there's probably not going to be any legal issues with it.
No, I think I remember watching a video not that long ago where a guy actually breaks down what he makes off Twitch. And granted, he's only a couple months in it at this point, but oh, wait a minute. I'm looking here.
Okay. Well, let me know if you find something. The only other thing I have is we have our link to Warfleet through Amazon. So if you go to podtaggler.com/Warfleet, that'll take you to the Warfleet pre-order for Amazon. And again, that is a guarantee low price. So if Amazon for some reason lowers the price than what it is now, then you'll get Warfleet for that low price. The lowest price that you get. If it goes up, you still get that low price. So nothing to worry about there. So again, podtaggler.com/Warfleet, and that'll take you straight to the listing where you can pre-order it. And they did update the cover on the US listing, and it's still listed as 35% off. So instead of the list price of $28, it is available for $18.30. If you're really into ships or a spacecraft in the Halo universe, then this is the book that you want to get.
Yeah, I'm not finding it. It's been too long.
Okay, fair enough.
But anyway, one thing we did not mention about the switch from Beam to Mixer, I remember watching this. Duquesne actually did a video on this, so you can go check it out on his channel. Mixer is giving you one free subscription.
Oh, so like Twitch Prime.
Well, no, it's not a reoccurring subscription. They're giving you one. So they are allowing you to subscribe to one channel for free.
Yeah, so like Twitch Prime, you get it to where you have that one free subscription.
Well, with Twitch Prime, you can resubscribe every month. You get one subscription per month. With Beam, you get 1 month.
Oh, that kind of sucks.
Well, lets people get a taste of it, and maybe they'll start investing some money in it to help the streamers. So at least you can get a free one for a month.
But I'm assuming that one free one isn't going to pay.
No, it's not going to pay anybody anything, but it might, I don't know, but they probably, if they get anything, it probably would be a smaller percentage than they would normally get. But yeah, you subscribe, it lets you play with the subscriber features, and it might inspire somebody to actually continue subscribing to a particular channel. Because, there's perks you get with being a subscriber, just like you do on Twitch. There's little extra things you get by, actually paying that money out every month.
Yeah, I guess that'll be something I need to get some clarification on Duquesne from and see what it is. That's going to be it for tonight. Unless, GT, do you think I missed anything from this week?
No, I think we covered everything.
Okay. So thanks, everyone, for tuning in. Remember, you can check us out on all of our social media. We are on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, Discord, Xbox, Twitch, and we have a Beep channel that we might start using, or Mixer channel now, that we might start using a little more on and off here. But you can find us at podtaggler.com/whatever it is, and if we have it, it'll redirect you to it. Update on our Spartan company. We do have another commendation completed thanks to our gang. I think Bobby and Confal were working on chugging away at one of them this past week. I think it was, you guys have to remind me which one it is because I forget the order of these as they're listed on the website. Was it killing an enemy with Spartan with a power weapon? Power play? Was that the one? Bobby or Confal will need to remind me. So once the stream catches up, that'd be another benefit to doing Beam, actually, is actually having the instant response on the chat.
Commendations.
Yeah, they said it was power play. Kill an enemy Spartan with power weapons. So we have 9 out of 31 completed for the helmet. Our next closest one is no hard feelings, and that is just to kill enemy Spartans. We have we're on our 5th level, and we currently have almost 370,000 out of 486,000. Good luck on that one, Bobby and Confel. You need almost 100 and what is it? 113,000 Spartan kills.
I got a feeling we'll catch up on some of the others before we get to that one.
Maybe. There's only there's a few other level five ones. We still have quite a few level four ones, which are actually getting close to completing or closing out a good chunk of our level fours. The one that we have lowest on the totem pole is forget to pay the toll, and this one's kind of obvious. Kill the driver of a moving vehicle by using a sniper rifle. We have 260 out of 480 for level four. That one's going to be a pain. And then kill Marines is the next one. And unfortunately, that has to be done in Warzone.
Yeah, unfortunately.
That can't be done in Firefight. That has to be done.
There's no Marines in Firefight.
Yeah, that's why. And Assault. Are there Marines in Assault? If so, there are no Marines in Assault either. So yeah, you have to play Warzone. For people interested and they're in the company, let's play Warzone Turbo as much as we can while we have it and while it's fun. Or else this one's going to take forever. So that's a short update on our Spartan company. We do have some slots open if everyone is interested. We have 8 open. So head on over to podtacular.com/company and request an invite, and you will get added by either me, GT, Laird, or Confal.
And this coming weekend, which is the weekend of the 3rd, I believe, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah. Saturday the 3rd. If anybody's interested, 6 p.m. Eastern time, approximately, I will be doing the next level of Halo 5, which is Reunion.
I might try to join you on that one.
We've got, it's a relatively long mission. There's a lot of stuff to show you. Got 7 logs, 2 skulls, 3 legendary weapons.
Were there really 7 logs on that level? Jeez. And there's 2 skulls?
2 skulls.
Yeah.
And there are two level achievements, and then there's 3 score attack achievements that we should be able to do on that level. So if you are interested, just shoot me a message on Xbox. You can get me at Godzilla Space T, and I will definitely put your name on the list.
Cool. And for those who haven't seen it yet, we did release the last episode, the latest one, of Achieving Halo on Saturday. So head on over to the YouTube channel and check that out.
Yeah, that was a fun one.
You had Confal, Pins, and Laird on, right?
Correct. And for an 18-minute video, it took 2 hours to film.
Welcome to the pain of video edit.
No, that was just filming it. It took
4 hours
to edit.
Gotcha.
We were having some issues, and I will give everybody this tip in the podcast. If you are going for the achievement where you have to save the miners, the 6 miners on the elevator, walk slowly. The miners don't get in a hurry to go anywhere. So before you walk into the elevator hangar, just kind of stand outside and relax, go get some ammo, grenades, whatever, and let them saunter on in. And then when you walk into the elevator, just stay right there by that elevator door for a while until they all walk in. We were kind of getting a little far ahead of the miners, and we weren't quite getting 6 of them on the elevator.
Oh, no.
I think one run we had 3. Another run we had 5. And then we figured out what we had to do, and you'd get about 12 of them on there. So.
Yikes.
Oh, yeah. There was one time we had 2. So just, you know, pro tip, if you're still going for that achievement, go slow, at least at that point.
Okay. Yeah, so I think that's all the community stuff. Make sure you check out our podcast network. We are part of a conglomerate of gaming specific shows, including Critzcast, Guardian Radio, The Learning Cliff, Podcast 76, Work in Progress, and How to Murder Time. You can check them out by heading over to thepodcast.com. That's thepodcast.com. And let them know that we sent you. Again, next week we'll be having the creative mind and, I guess, kind of project manager over the Barvo helmet. Check out our social media. We'll be asking for questions to ask our guest. And we'll also be looking for questions for the following week for the Installation 01 project team as well. Again, follow us on Twitter and Facebook, and we'll be asking for questions there. And also join our Discord. We'll be asking about, we'll have questions in there as well. And we hope to see you there. Again, Twitch at 9 on Tuesday is when we record our shows. And then we also have our Fragon Fridays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, also on Twitch. And hit up GT for that to get an invite. And until then, we will catch you guys on the flip side. Keep on Fragon Mixer.